Let's pray. You know, I crack up. Paul said, I came to you shaken in my boots and not with eloquent words. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This guy was like the mastermind. But he knew that he was going to come with the power of the word of God. And then he was bold. So some days I feel like that. So Father God, you all can pray for me. I'm going to pray for you. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that your word makes us strong. Your word transforms us. And Father, today it is not me. I thank you it is your word that is going to go into these people, into my heart too, Lord, and just take us to the higher places. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm going to share something that I didn't know until after the Super Bowl, because I was kind of listening, maybe eavesdropping to a conversation with a bunch of guys, but they're talking about the GOAT. I'm like, the GOAT? But if you're a sports fan, which I like watching football, but I really am not a sports fan, so they're talking about it, and if you're a sports fan, y'all know what the GOAT is. Raise your hand if you know what the GOAT is. Oh, the GOAT stands for the greatest of all times. Look at the person next to you and say, you are the greatest of all time. Look at somebody else and say, you are the greatest of all time. All right? So I didn't know this, and I do know it now, and I did a little research, but in football and basketball, people will get together and they'll go, hey, they're the GOAT. They're the GOAT. They're the greatest of all time. Okay, y'all silly. Okay, so currently in football, the quarterback that is the GOAT, hands down, undisputed, whether you like him or not, is who? I know something you don't know. I know something you don't know. Who is it? Tom Brady. Come on, you got to say his name. Even though I didn't like his name because he was playing on the team that I didn't want to win. Currently, hands down, the GOAT is Tom Brady, all right? So here's why, okay, that nobody really disputes it. He may not be the best athlete in your eyes. He may not have the best arm in your eyes. But listen, this guy has won 6 Super Bowls for New England Patriots. 6. Now, there have been other teams that have gotten 6 Super Bowls, but never by the same quarterback. So Tom Brady is considered to be the GOAT. And the last, when he was playing for New England Patriots, his 6th Super Bowl, guess how old he was? 41 years old. Most of you are complaining about your back at 41, okay? So he's the GOAT. But then he changes teams. He goes for Tampa Bay, and he wins his 7th Super Bowl. And I'm like, that's not fair. You got 7 rings, okay? But listen, he's considered today the GOAT of quarterbacks. Some of you are so grumbling because he's not the guy you voted for, all right? But he's considered that. So I want to read you a quote, and this is by a guy, Deion Sanders. He's a Christian. He's an athlete. He's a sportscaster, and he's a coach and all that. But listen to what he had to say, because I'm going to launch off from there. This is what he had to say about Tom Brady. Tom Brady is a game changer. Everybody say game changer. Tom Brady is a game changer on the field, in the locker rooms, and in life. Tom Brady is in a class by himself. He can get another coach, which he did, he changed, all right, and still be Tom Brady. So I'm thinking about GOAT, the greatest of all times, and I'm thinking about Christians. Raise your hand if you're a believer. Okay, I'm thinking about you, and I'm thinking about you all are called the GOAT in Jesus' eyes. So everybody say, I'm the GOAT. That's what Jesus says about me. I'm the GOAT. I'm the greatest of all times, okay? Now, so I'm thinking about you guys that are the GOAT, and I'm thinking about what Jesus says, more so spiritually what that means, okay? Because obviously I'm not playing football. I'm not a quarterback. But the GOAT is game changers. Everybody say, I'm a GOAT. I'm a game changer. All right, GOATs are game changers. And not only are you a GOAT that's a game changer, but you are changing other people's lives, right, and helping them come up higher. Praise God. So we're going to talk a lot about goats. We're going to talk about what Jesus says on how to become a goat. All right, how to become a goat. And some of you, I know you already do this, but how about we go higher? Take it up a notch, all right? So I like to give you a main idea. Most of the time I do, some days I forget. But here's our main idea today. If you're taking notes, you should take notes. If you're not taking notes, you should take notes. Okay? So the main idea is what I want you to walk out understanding more clear than ever before. It goes like this. The way up is down. I'm going to get you on this. The way up is down. Everybody say, the way up is down. Okay, so the way up is obviously becoming a goat in God's kingdom, and we get that, but I want to talk more about the way down, okay? And Jesus talked a lot about this through the Gospels, and I'm going to just kind of dwell on one story. It's really cool. And how many of you know of James and John, sons of Zebedee? They're in the Bible. They're actually two of Jesus' disciples, James and John, all right? Now, that's what you may know, but I want to tell you something you may not know. James and John actually were mama's boys. Really, they were mama's boys, okay? And they wanted to become the greatest in God's kingdom, all righty? And that meant one wanted to sit on Jesus' right side in his kingdom, the other wanted to sit in Jesus' left side, all right? So now, in Bible days, so to us it's like, whatever. But listen, back when this was written in Bible days, if you wanted to sit on the right hand of the king, that meant you were second in command of the nation. And if you wanted to sit on the left, guess what you are then? Third in command in the nation, okay, in that kingdom, all righty? So they wanted to be the greatest in God's kingdom. And I'm thinking about that. I'm going, you guys are so silly. Like, are you kidding me? Because they wanted to be greater than Moses. How about greater than Abraham? How about greater than Elijah? Greater than the greats? And I'm going, you guys are so silly. You know, really, where are you, all right? So they tell their mom that they want to be the goat, the greatest in this kingdom, right? And their mom is like, oh, that's right. Boys, you are the greatest. You guys are so awesome, all righty? And then their mom says, I'm just going to march over and tell Jesus about my boys, all righty? All right, so I was going to say something, I better watch how I say that, all right? So she goes over to talk to Jesus, and they're holding on to her apron strings because their mama's boys hiding behind her. And she goes, Jesus, you know my two boys, they're just awesome. And Jesus is probably rolling his eyes going, oh yeah, baby, they're awesome. I got a lot of work I'm going to do on them. And then she says, you know, I'd like one to sit on the right hand and the other to sit on the left hand when you come into your kingdom. And they're hiding. They're hiding behind their mama. Now, this is in the Bible, y'all, but I'm just kind of reading in between, all right? And I'll give you some scriptures, but this is really in the Bible, okay? So their mama went to Jesus, and I could just imagine Jesus going, guys, cut these apron strings. Are you kidding me? Okay, and then Jesus says this, it is not for me to decide who sits on the right, who sits on the left, but my Father, all right? So how many of you have ever read that before, all right? And then he asks the question, and he says, are you able to drink from my cup? Now, this is a big question. Are you able to drink from my cup? And it's really talking about the suffering that Jesus was going to go through. All right? So he's going, hey, are you able to drink from my cup? And they're like, well, yeah, we can do that. No problem, Jesus. Boys. And he says this to them, you are going to take a sip out of that cup. Now, here's what's interesting. We're talking about James and John. Did you know that James, after Jesus died and then the disciples are just preaching the gospel all over the place, did you know that he was beheaded? That means he's dead, right? He got beheaded. Go read the book of Acts this week. Go hear what happened to him. And also, which I think might be worse, okay? John was sent to the island of Patmos. And this is not an island where they're all laying on the beach and drinking Mai Tais or whatever like that. No, this is a prison work island. And he is sent there, and he is working in the mines for digging up minerals and rocks and stuff like that. And it's hard labor, hard labor. And he was there for years and years and years and years. Now, while he's over there, that's when the Lord gives him, and he writes down the book of Revelation. But listen, guys, he was there for a long, long time doing hard labor. So yeah, they did sip from the cup, right? Would you agree? So we got this whole thing going on with the mama's boys, and the word gets back to the other 10 disciples. And guess how that went down? They are ticked. They are miffed. They are ready to go after these two guys. And Jesus has to get in. So open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. Okay? Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. Jesus has got to get in and settle this down, because it is like ready to be a rumble roar. Okay? Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. Jesus calls them together and said, no fighting. How many moms have ever said that? No fighting, all right? You know that the rulers of the Gentiles, these would be non-Jews, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. So Israel had been conquered by the Roman Empire. And the Roman armies and governments had been took over everything. So they knew that when the Romans come in, they squash everything, they occupy, they oppress everybody, and then their rulers got the best of the best. So Jesus says to them, this is basically what he's saying, hey, you know how it is in this world that we're living. So I think it's still like that now. So now listen to verse 26. Verse 26, not so with you. Now, I want you to make this personal and say, not so with me. Right? Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great, the goat, right? Whoever wants to be the goat, the great in God's kingdom among you, must be your servant. Verse 27. And whoever wants to be first, what was John and James doing? They wanted to be first, right? Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Now, I think it's kind of interesting he uses this word slave, right? He uses this word, and it's just mind-blowing that Jesus would even say you should be a slave. All right? And I remember the first time, I'm just a new Christian and I'm reading through my Bible and I read that, I'm like, what? Become a servant? What? Be a slave to other people? Okay? And Jesus says, this is the way you become the goat. Everybody say goat. Right. Okay? Because the way up is down. The way up is down. All right? Now, in our YCF church family, I'm just looking out here and I'm like, man, we got a lot of goats out here. We got a lot of people that serve. They're laying their life down, and it's amazing. I just see a lot of you, you serve in the church. You see or serve outside of this church, and it's amazing. But I want to help all of us go higher, okay? And I have to do this myself, so I want us all to go higher. Now, listen to how Jesus finishes this next part, verse 28. Verse 28, he says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, all right? He's not talking right there about dying on the cross. The rest of that sentence is where he says, and to give his life as ransom for many. But right here, Jesus is saying, hey, listen, you guys, I came here to teach you to be the goat, to teach you to be the greatest. I'm coming here to teach you how to lay your life down and serve others. That's what he's saying there, okay? Now, it's not easy to do. And I'm going to tell some stories on me this instead of somebody else this week, but it's not easy to do because it's a growing thing, all right? And it was a growing thing in me. So God really had to grow me in a lot of this. But if I were to sit and write core values for YCF, things that are like the meat and the bones to YCF. This is, and please write this down, this is what I believe is core values here. We are saved people to serve people. We are saved people to serve people, all right? And you know, that should be when you go to school, that should be when you're at your workplace, that should be when you're in your neighborhood, that should be in your little family units, it should be in our family, it should be wherever you go, it should be ever go, because God has called us to lay our life down to serve others, to be the goat, okay? And lay your life down for the world, and sometimes it's hard, they're just beautiful, okay? Lay your life down for the work of God. Lay your life down for people. God has called us to do that, right? Because we are the goat, the greatest of all times, right? So sometimes people serve, lay their life down, and they serve out of guilt. And the denomination, the church that I grew up, they were built big on making you feel the guilt. All right? If you don't serve, then you're probably not going to heaven. At least that's what I thought they said, okay? Or better yet, if you don't serve, you know, you're just a really poor Christian, all right? So I had this guilt. And how about fear? Like, if you don't serve, you're not going to heaven. So the interesting thing about serving like that, and I did for a long time, is you do it, you serve, but your heart isn't in it. You know, your heart isn't in it, and your attitude isn't right. And I want to tell you, you can only do that so long, and then it gets ugly. All right? I won't tell you all my uglies right now. So, but what I really want to do is I just want to give you two things that I had to learn about being the goat, about laying my life down, about serving, like being like Jesus. All right? Just two things. All right? So the first one, and listen, some of my stories, you're going to think, what are you doing up front? But some of my stories are from a long, long time ago, okay? All right? Just so you know. But I just want us all to see that we can do, and so many of you are serving the Lord in all manners of ways, but we can always go higher, amen? All right? Because the way up is down, all right? Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Goats know who they are. Pastor Sherry said something. I actually advertised some books in our bookstore, okay? Goats know who they are, okay? Now, when you know who you are, all right, you don't do anything serving-wise to get God's approval. You just don't, because you know who you are. I know who I am. I know that God loves me. I know that He sent Jesus to die for me. So I'm not doing it to get this. I know I already have it, right? I received Jesus, and my old life died, and my new life is here. I'm hidden in Christ. I'm seated in the heavenlies, favor, goodness, mercy. I know who I am. So when I do serve, it's not to get God's approval. And if that's where you're at, Holy Spirit, just open your eyes and just say, I'm not doing that no more, okay? So when you know who you are, loved, approved, holy, blameless, spectacular, greatest of all times, okay? It's really easy to serve people. It is. Doesn't rock your boat, all right? Now, didn't always. There's a growing to it, all right? Now, Jesus, I'm going to tell the next story. Jesus is about to do the most revolutionary thing ever. He's getting ready to wash the disciples' feet. Everybody know that story? Okay? Wash their feet. Now, just so you can understand this story, that what Jesus does is a super big deal. Because back then, in Bible days, they didn't have Nike shoes and pavement and black tops, you know, streets. They're wearing, if they have anything, they're wearing sandals and they're walking on dirt and dusty roads, okay? That's the way it was back then. And if you were to come into somebody's house, okay, they would make sure your feet got washed, all right, for obvious reasons, but only a slave would wash your feet. Only slaves wash their feet. Now, if you came to my house and I didn't have a slave, I don't. I don't even have a house cleaner, okay? So if you came to my house and I didn't have a slave to wash your feet, because only slaves wash your feet, I would say, there's the bucket, go wash your feet. I would never lower myself, because it was real humiliating to wash someone's feet, okay? This is what the culture is then. This is how you have to understand that, all right? So Jesus is going to take this event about washing feet, and he is about ready to blow circuits and teach a lesson, okay? So you're ready for the lesson? Here we go. It starts out in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 3. John 13, verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father, his Father, had given him authority over everything, and he had come from the Father, and he would return. Okay, and then later on, Jesus goes and washes their feet, and he takes the position of a servant because the way up is way down. But it is really clear in this scripture and a whole bunch of other ones that Jesus knew what? Who he was. He knew who he was. He knew his Father. He knew what he was going to do, and he knew where he was going. He knew who he was, okay? Now, it took me a long time to where I knew who I was, where we need to know who we are, okay? So I'm not worried about people taking advantage of me and just being, you know, just yucky to me, all right? And part of that, why I had a hard time, is for 21 years I lived in the world where everybody is just spitting and bumping you and knocking you all over the place, okay? And you can just get some goofy thinking in your head. And I had a lot of not knowing who I was. So it took me a while to do this, all right? But when you know who you are, you know your, how about this word, status. I'm seated in the heavenlies. I'm a child of God. I'm loved with God. Goodness and mercy and favor. I'm a new creature. Woo! Okay, when you know who you are, okay, the world can't take advantage of you. I mean, they can try. They can slap you. They can punch you, knock the wind out of your sails. But I'm choosing, you can choose not to let and stay that way, okay? You can choose not to stay that way. So if God said, I open doors that no man can shut, and God says, nobody can stop you from doing what I have for you to do. Nobody can stop you from doing your callings and you taking your gifts and doing them, okay? So that's pretty cool. So God also says, I shut doors that nobody open. And how about this one? If I go before you, who's going to stop you, right? Who's against you? So that's when you've got to know, wait a minute, that is who I am. That is my God. I'm his child. That is amazing, all right? So when I began to understand who I was in God, all right, I realized nobody could take advantage of me. I mean, they can try, but I wasn't going to stay that way. And I, for 21 years, I was sitting in some wrong seats. But when I found out that I am a new creature, I am forgiven, this is who I am, this is what, I mean, it just really moved me, all right? So here's the next one. So I'm learning who I am. And then I've received Jesus, and I'm learning who I am in Jesus and what he is, the authority I have in him, and all these great things. And then I'm hanging out with Christians, and they mess up. Anybody know a Christian that messed up? Everybody, hands should be up there, okay? Okay. And some of them messed up in some of my little groups here. And, you know, you can be those people that say, oh, Christians, they're so hypocrites. Look what they did. I'm never going to go to church again. And believe me, I hear that a lot, all right? Or this is what I finally got to. I would just look at the people that would mess up, and I said, hey, you know what? They love God, all right? And they're just a man, or they're just a woman, and they messed up. They sinned. They messed up. But I'm serving Jesus. I'm serving Jesus, and I'm not serving that man. By the way, y'all don't serve me. You can help me, but I'm not serving that man or that woman. I'm serving who? I'm serving Jesus, and it doesn't matter what anyone does. Nobody's going to stop me from doing what I'm called to do. How about serve, all right? So Jesus wanted us to come to that revelation just like him. He knew who he was, and he knew where he was going. And you think about all the punches and knock the wind out of your sail that he experienced until he died on the cross and rose again. He had people lying about him, just like, and took money to just kill him. I mean, just horrible. So if Jesus could know who he was, where he was going, and it didn't stop him, how about us? Because I've already read the Bible. So can you, all right? So I know who I am. I know where I'm going. Now, let's read what happens next. We're in John chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. John 13, 4 and 5. So remember, this is Jesus washing feet. Here we go. So he got it from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel around him. Okay, so this week, family devotions, just read verses 6 through 12, because this is when Peter becomes Peter. Peter's so cute, okay? Peter gets upset with Jesus. And he's like, Jesus, you can't do that. You can't wash our feet. Jesus, you can't bend down and lower yourself and act like a slave. Jesus, you can't do this. Jesus, you're Jesus. You're the Son of God. You can't do that, right? You all know that part of the story? So Peter, we love Peter. He's got this big commotion going on here. And Jesus just washes the feet like, he just washes everybody's feet. Be quiet, Peter, Peter. Okay? He washes the feet. Okay. And then he finishes, and we're going to jump over to verse 12. I'm going to read verse 12 and 13. This is Jesus. And after washing their feet, he put on his robe, sat down, and asked. I love it. Do you understand? Peter, not. Okay. Do you understand what I was doing? Verse 13. You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. All right. So he's saying, hey, I'm Jesus. I'm the Son of God. And I have bowed down and I have washed your feet. Okay. But I know who I am. So it's no biggie for me to bow down and wash your feet. All right. And then verse 14. And 15, and since I, your Lord, your teacher, have washed your feet, ready, you ought to wash each other's feet. Verse 15, I have given you an example to what? Follow. Do as I have done to you. Now, some churches have feet washing ceremony. Anybody that knows me, I hate pedicures. I hate that's a strong word, having my feet touched. It's just so many levels, okay? All right. So if you like it, it's good. It's very humbling to have somebody wash your feet. And if you want to go have a foot washing ceremony in your grow group, just tell everybody ahead of time so they have their toes clipped, okay, and they don't have holes in their socks. And I have been in a couple of feet washing ceremonies, and one time they didn't tell us. We were going to this grow group, and this is back in the day where ladies wore, back in the day, like I'm ancient of day, ladies wore pantyhose. So we're coming in with our pantyhose on, you guys, sorry, I'm going to embarrass you. And they're like, well, I better go to the bathroom and peel this thing off, you know. So tell everybody ahead of time so they don't have holes in their socks and they're not wearing pantyhose, okay? Okay, foot washing is not an ordinance of the church, okay? So we don't do it here. But if you want to, go get your jollies. Tell me ahead of time. I'm probably not coming. I don't like my feet touched, okay? But it's really not about washing feet. Everybody say it's not about washing feet. Nope. It's about the culture that day, and that is what a servant slave did. That's what it's about, okay? That's what it's about. And Jesus says, hey, listen, I am the highest human being you got. I am Jesus. I am the Son of God, right? And if I bow down and I wash your feet, okay, and I want to serve you, guess what? We can do that, okay? We can do that. And it's not about status. Come on, this was Jesus, and he's doing okay. And it's not about serving people, and you know, and they might hurt you, and they might do some other things, and we'll talk more about it. It's about us knowing that when we bow down, and we're serving people. So everybody say, serve people. And once I knew that, man, I just was free. Except for I had one more thing. You want to hear my one more thing? One more thing I struggle with. Really, I've been struggling. I struggle with things, and I'm just growing and growing. Everybody growing and growing and growing, right? Amen. Well, this is one of those things I struggled with way back then, like decades ago. But let me tell you about it. I struggled looking past people's messes, looking past where you're whacked out. You ever been whacked out? Not me, you know, these messes, okay? But I struggled for that. I did this. This was a long time ago, okay? Okay. But I struggled looking past people's messes. And therefore, it just kind of, I struggled then serving people, helping people, all right? So I did that. Now, I got past this, all right? But there was a season in my life, way back, I'm new believers, like, man, they are messed up. Did you just see they did that again and did that again? And I don't know if I trust them. I don't know if I'm going to help them again, all right? Now, nobody's ever done that before here, I'm sure, okay? But God helped me see that I needed to see, all right? So here's my second one. Ready? Goats. Ready? Goats see the value in others. If you are the greatest of all time, which is Jesus has called you all to be the greatest of all time, goats see the value in other people, all right? And God had to teach me to look past people's messes and see the treasures and the gifts inside of them. All right? So turn to Philippians. This scripture just really talks about it. It's just so cool. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 3. Okay? This talks about seeing the value in other people so you can serve. Ready? Philippians 2, 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambitions or vain conceit. Like, don't do it to be seen, all right? All right? Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Oh, the way up is down. Kind of says that, all right? So, you know, I had been struggling with going, God, this person's got this problem, and they're a mess. They're not perfect. Did you see this? Did you see that? Okay? And then the last part, the Lord's going, read this, D. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. And verse 4, not looking at you, your own interests, but each of you in the interests of others. Guys, really simple, really plain. He's talking about being a servant. Everybody say servant. That's all he's talking about, being a servant, okay? Being a servant and seeing the value that's inside of people, righty? Now, again, I'm talking about decades ago, okay? Gotten better at this, okay? But I remember reading that scripture, what? You know, value others. And I'm struggling because all I see is people's messes, right? And it's stopping me, hindering me. Slowing me down, all right, to where I can lay my life down and serve and to be the goat, right? So one day, it was really a couple of days, okay, but one day, long, long time ago, we are in Tulsa. Jack's going to Rhema, and I said, I'm never going to school again, so, which I ate those words. Don't ever start your sentence with never, because I will tell you, you will probably do. So just don't do that. It'll feel better, all right? So Jack's going to a school. And I got hired at the church that we went to that had a Christian school because I have a degree in elementary education, okay? And so I got hired. The school is in their second year, all righty? And that first year, they had these two boys in second grade, and they were the most disruptive, out of control. And I never say kids are bad. But, all right, just super, super disruptive, okay? And we're getting ready to start the new school year in August, all right? So this is what happened last year, these two boys. And the principal goes, hey, I got to talk to you, pastor. So the pastor of the church where they have the school. He's kind of like on the board. He doesn't have to do anything. He just makes sure everybody gets paid and all that good stuff. But the principal goes, "Pastor, we got to talk because I think we might have to expel these boys. And they can't come back." Now, if you do that, it's going to really impact those boys and the family and a whole bunch of other things. So they get together, the pastor and the principal goes to the pastor. These boys, they are so disruptive. They are out of control. I don't know what we're going to do. I think we should expel them. And they decide to pray. Praying is always a good thing. And they actually prayed about it for a whole week. And they both came back, the principal and the pastor, and they go, "What'd you hear? I don't know. You tell me what you hear." And they both heard, "Let's give them one more chance." Okay? Let's give them one more chance. So at the end of the year, all right, that was the end of the year, these two boys, and now it's the new school year, and they're getting ready to go in to this classroom. What did I say? They were in second grade, so I guess they're going into third grade. Thank you. Just listen. So they're going into third grade, and the teacher, and this is a small Christian school. There are only 200 kids in the school. They only have one third grade class, and you are the third grade teacher that are going to get those boys, and she quits. Okay, really what happened is her husband got a job and they moved out of the area. So they went and hired a new teacher. And she's like, "Oh, yes, I'd love to be a teacher. Thank you. I'm going to be teaching in this Christian school. I'm teaching third grade. This is awesome, awesome. Thank goodness it wasn't my class." Okay, and then after they hired her, like the day before school starts, they tell her about the two boys that are going to be in her class. And she's like, "No problem." I'm thinking, must be Superwoman, all right? No problem, all right? And guess what happens the first 2 weeks of school? Those boys are as ornery as they were last year in her class, all right? They're just for 2 weeks, da-da-da-da-da, doing this and that. And then at the end of the second week, probably like the third week, they have become model students. Okay, now I was not there last year, so I only heard the stories, okay? But I got to see 2 weeks of these boys. And I'm like, "Thank you, Jesus, I taught second grade. Thank you, not third grade," okay? So everybody's wondering, what is she doing? What is she doing? Like, and the whole class is just great. These boys are great. So the principal decided he was going to observe. Now, principals normally go in and observe your class, but for different reasons. So he comes in, and, you know, if they're observing your class, they sit in the back. So he's sitting in the back, and he's got his little clipboard. Not intimidating, right? Okay, and he is watching her. And these boys start messing up. Now, she is a disciplinarian, right? She says, "Hey, y'all, knock it off," okay? She's got backbone, and she deals with it. She deals with it here, okay? But after she deals with them, because they're messing up, she starts to see the gifts inside of them. It's been 3 weeks coming up here, and I thought, she must have been a praying teacher. She could see the gifts, and she starts speaking those gifts over them. She starts pulling them out. So she'll say, "You know what? I see leadership in you. Man, I just see you are an amazing leader. How about you can lead the class in blah, blah, blah," okay? And the other little boy, she goes, "You know what? I just see this incredible Jesus compassion in you. How about you can go help this little boy over here?" She could see the treasures and the gifts, and she was pulling them out. And in 2-3 weeks' time, they are like model citizens. Now, occasionally they messed up, but I said, it was incredible. And so I kept thinking, whoa, is that magic? Ooh. So I watched her. Matter of fact, our classes were side by side. So sometimes we'd leave the door open, and I'm listening to her. I'm like, wow, I got to try that on my kids. It was amazing. It was amazing. It was the first time, and this is a long, long, long time ago, that I realized, hey, I can pull gifts out of people, all right? Now, take that scripture, and the Lord starts dealing with me. "Hey, Dee, you need to stop looking at people's messes, all right? You need to stop doing that and start seeing their treasures, okay? Because that's what Jesus did for us. He looked at the world. God looked at the world. They're a mess, and you know what he did? He saw the treasure that he would die for us. And some of you, man, big time, why would he die for you? But he did. He died for us, and then he gave us his life, amen, right? So God began to deal in my heart a long, long time ago, and he still does, okay? And he dealt with me, and he says, "Listen, Dee, People aren't perfect. By the way, look in the mirror. People aren't perfect, okay? But I have put treasures and gifts in them, and you can help bring them up so they can launch over and go out, and maybe they could do it again. Yes, absolutely. All righty? So I began to just do that. I do that all the time. All the time. I just speak at people and say, wow, okay? Now, it changed my attitude. And listen, I'm a mess some days. You're a mess some days. You mess up. You sin. If you don't think so, I'm going to go ask your spouse, okay? You mess up, okay? But listen, when you start seeing really what God has placed in them, and you might have to pray, especially if you're a parent and you got a kid that's messing up, you might have to get quiet and say, God, what is the treasure in them? All right? God, I know you put treasures in them. I know you put gifts in them. And you might have to pray. That could be your prayer. God, open my eyes. Okay? What's in them? And then you need to start speaking it over them. And when I was little, I'd make my kids repeat after me. Okay? This is who you are. All righty? All right? So, praise God. You know, even this weekend, I lay my life down to prepare a message. Really, it's all week. It takes me all week to prepare a message, okay? I lay my life down. I love doing this, all right? I lay my life down to serve hot dogs. I love every time we have an event here. I kind of cut in line and push somebody who was supposed to be doing it because I love to serve hot dogs. First off, we got a hot dog roller machine. It's just really fun. And you smell like hot dogs afterwards. It just smells really good. Okay, I like to serve at anything. And one time we had a guest speaker, and afterwards, this was years ago, we had the whole family over to my house. All right, and I think I had prepared food. I had somebody else help, and I'm serving the man who was the guest speaker that day, and he's like, what are you doing? Somebody else should be. I said, are you kidding me? My greatest honor is to serve. Like, you cannot stop me. And he hadn't gotten this, I don't think, okay? But I love to serve. I love to serve the body of Christ. How many of you know about Prayer for York? Prayer for York is on the 24th of every month. And Pastor Sherry are on, we call it the steering committee. Is that a nice word? We're on the committee, all right? And in the beginning, I was like, dang, I don't want to do this. But I love Pastor Reuben and Ashley Hilliard who headed up. And I love to serve them on this committee, right? I love, and I don't know how many times I said, boy, Reuben, I was just dragging my feet, but once I got here, I remember what I'm doing. I get to serve you and serve the body, so I just have just a great old time, all righty? So, but guys, you have to have the attitude, number one, I know who I am, and I don't worry about people taking care, advantage of me and doing nothing, okay? God's got my back, and I am going to see treasures in people that you place in my life, amen? All right, now, some of you, listen, it changed my life, but some of you are thinking about some people. Click, 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 click. You know, the person you just want to rip your hair out and scream at? And God's saying, none of you have any of those, okay? And you listen, sometimes you have to deal with people, you know, speaking the truth in love at the right season, all right? And sometimes you have to confront them, and sometimes you have to say what you need to say. But how about you, after that, you are speaking life over them. You are an amazing person. You're a daughter of the Most High God. You are seated in heavenly places. Goodness and mercy. Okay, I kind of go on that. And you start pulling life out of them. How about you do that? All right? Just raise your hand if you're glad that God does that to you. God sees you that way. He doesn't see you as a mess up. He sees you as his child, his sons, his daughters, rulers and reigners in this life, okay? So, three things I want you to walk out of here. Ready? Number one, I want you to know how God sees you. Everybody say, I'm the goat. I am the greatest of all time. Post-e note. Some of you, that is the number one biggest thing. Seeing and knowing how God sees you. All right? Put it on your thing. God, I'm the goat. God, I'm the goat. Okay, number two, understanding that you know who you are. Listen, if you have accepted Jesus Christ into your life, right? Guess what? You are now a child of God. Hallelujah, okay? And he is for me and he's not against me and the world can think and do and say. But listen, my God's got my back and you better watch out. That's what I say. So you better watch out. My God is the creator of heaven and earth, all right? Because the way up is the way down, all right? Praise God. Okay, I want to pray for everybody. You can close your eyes. Coffee will kick you in a few minutes. Here we go. Close your eyes. Ready? Bow your heads. Okay. Father, I know you have been speaking to people's hearts, just like you spoke to me with these scriptures. And Father, here is our heart cry. Lord, help us see who we are. Lord, help us see after that the treasures and the value of other people. Help us look past their exterior, their messes, their past, even if they did it today, and help us look into their heart. Father, help us to lay down our life like never before. Show us how to be the goat in your kingdom. And Lord, I thank you for all the goats here at YCF. Man, they're incredible people. Lord, I thank you for them. But Lord, grow us even more to the next level. Praise God. Lord, help us see these principles, Lord, and apply them every day in our life. Amen. So while your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed, I believe that the Holy Spirit's just talking to people's hearts. And you just be quiet. Nobody's got to run. I mean, if you have to go, I get it. Okay, but just listen to him. Listen to him. He loves you. He loves to bring light to the areas that maybe we can't see. So just listen to him, all right? And while you're doing that, maybe you're here or maybe you're listening online. Hello, all my online people. And you're not sure about your eternity. What I mean is maybe you don't, and this is maybe you're not even sure if God exists, or maybe you don't believe he exists, or maybe you're here and you believe in God and you were raised in a religion. Okay, you grew up in a church like that, and you believe in God, but you don't know Jesus personally. So here's the question I want to ask. It's probably the most important question in the entire universe. Ready? What have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? Okay, what have you done with Jesus? And this is what I mean. Do you remember a day where you prayed and you said, Lord, Jesus, I accept you into my life. And I will follow you. And everybody's, you know, heads bowed, just close your eyes. If you can say, Pastor D, I have never done that, okay? I want to tell you that you are so valuable. Jesus saw you and he said, I'll die for you. That's what he did. He died for you. And he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. And no one comes to the Father unless you come in and through me. He also said, if you call on my name, if you ask me to come in your life, I will save you. You will be a child of God. You will come to this high place. Praise God. So if that's you today and you'd say, Pastor D, that's me, I'm ready. Okay, I'd like to pray with you, all right? I want to pray with you. I want to help you, all right? Pray this prayer with me. For all of you that have prayed this prayer, you've already accepted Jesus into your life. Can we pray this with them? Like, this is a big deal in their life today, that they would pray this prayer, right? This is big. So pray this prayer, everybody. Say, and just mean it from your heart, okay? Just say it from your heart. Say, Father God, I come to you, and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and he died for the sins of the world, and he died for me. Today, I open the door of my heart. I open my life up to you. And I invite you in, and I receive you as my personal Savior, as my Lord. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, you are now a child of God. Woo! You are incredible. And you may not have to feel it. It is not based on feelings, okay? I'm not a feely-willy person. Some of you know that, okay? It is based on you said with your mouth and you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. You've invited him. Your life is forever changed. You are a child of God. Amen. So You should tell people about it, and I'd love to be the first person. And if you prayed this today for the first time, would you come up and tell me, okay? I'd love to hear. I'd love to just put a book in your hand. We have Bibles. Scott, wait, raise your hand. Scott's back there. He's an usher. He'll make sure you get a Bible if you don't have a Bible. Praise God. Praise God. All right, you guys, you are the GOAT. Amen. Look at someone and say, you're the GOAT. Amen. You all have a great day. We love you. If you want prayer, we'd love to pray for you up front. I have some elders here. We would love to pray for you. I love you, goats. You're incredible.